Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for yourself.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
The Friday Night Roundtable. I'm Dave. Hey, Lisa's here. Hi, Lisa.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm great. This is the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, the number one voice of true liberty in the land where liberty is fading fast. How'd your day go, Lisa?
It went by very quickly. It's like the week just flew by.
It sure did. Yeah. Okay, listen up, folks. We're at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. We're going to go with a free speech night tonight. We have some topics we're going to discuss, but if you have a topic that has anything to do with liberty, with grassroots politics, with how things are going out there, you give us a call and we'll just divert tonight's conversation to whatever it is you want to talk about for a limited amount of time. We won't give you the whole hour. Lisa, what'd you think of, I haven't talked to you since Wisconsin. What'd you think?
I'm still dancing, Dave.
Yeah, it was great. I was surprised by the margin, weren't you?
No, not really.
No?
I would have been a little wider, actually. It was in the beginning, and I was happy to see that. It kind of tightened up at the end, but not really. I'm not quite sure that we can really trust all those polls that are coming out. I think this was a great indicator of what's going to happen in November, because I think that the grassroots and the Tea Party and even the independent people out there, the swing folks, have really had a taste of what socialism and oppressive, tyrannical Obama administration is all about, and I think they're kind of done with it. So I think there's going to be an uprising in November at the polls.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And this was an attempt to make it stop. It was an overt attempt to put a lid on this thing, and it was impossible for them to do it. They even had quite a few. Oh my God, Lisa, the amount of money that was spent on this thing by both sides, but the amount of money that was spent by our side was 80%. I mean, yeah, the big spenders like the Koch brothers, they threw some dollars in there, but it was 90% grassroots money. It was $5 and $100 in envelopes.
Yeah, I mean, think about the statement that makes. That is just a huge, huge statement compared to those big money donors out there. If that wave sweeps across the country in November, it's going to be devastating for the Obama administration. They may not even be able to serve out their lame duck term. It's just amazing.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to be very, and we're going to spend probably a little bit of time in weeks to come talking about this, but I'm going to make two forecasts for the October surprise. One, gas is going to be under $2.75 a gallon by Election Day.
Yep.
And we will go to war against Iraq to stop the nuclear bomb in August or September.
Ooh, that's a good one. I hadn't thought about that.
Yes. And I really believe that Obama thinks that will pull it off for him. I don't think it will. I really don't. I think the people who matter in this election, you know, the street rats, who have become dependent on the government, or who are being promised more and more and more. They don't give a shit about a war in Iraq anyway. It's not going to sway their vote at all. So I think the votes he's after with something like the gas price and the war are votes that belong to people who will see right through that. And I believe we make sure they do. I was really happy. I'll tell you what really made me happy in Wisconsin was the percentage of recalls down ticket that were unsuccessful. I really thought that that would be closer too. I thought we would lose more in the legislature than we did. You know, there were what is it, eight down ticket recalls as well?
I didn't follow that.
Yeah. There were eight down ticket recalls. I believe that the Republicans lost. I know they lost one seat, and I believe last night, the last time I looked, that one seat was a potential loss still in recount or headed for a recount. But they held six and held both houses of the legislature.
You know, think about what that is. Just a huge culture shift. That you know, that just speaks volumes for what the people think of socialism. And I've spoke about this a little bit on Wednesday night's show. If I was a Rhino Republican, I would be shaking in my shoes right now, because Rhino Republicans have been able to coast into office because they rubber stamp an R behind their name. And I think that this vote in Wisconsin and the attention that it's gotten across the country is telling everybody who's paying attention that we no longer are casting generic Republican votes. We're looking for conservatives to be in office, and we're looking for substance behind our vote. You know, Walker has done a great job there in Wisconsin. He's worked hard and gotten some very good results. You know, so in, for example, in the Missouri legislature, where we have a Republican House and Senate that is pretty much useless, I think that if I were a Rhino Republican in the Missouri House or Senate right now, I would be very worried looking at this upcoming primary election, because people are not as eager to just look at the R and follow the R anymore. I think that they are really looking for substance behind their vote now. I think I see a lot more of that.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I was really disappointed. I mean, countering my euphoria, oh, I almost said euphemism, countering my euphoria over the Wisconsin thing in Springfield, we lost almost 2-1 to keep a try to turn back the smoking ban. And I blogged about that yesterday and talked about it quite a bit last night. And that makes me worry a little bit. But, you know, we just didn't work hard enough down here. We just didn't work hard enough. And I include myself. I mean, I work 13, 14 hours a day, and I should have been out there the other 10 to 11 hours, knocking on doors and handing out pamphlets and making sure that we kept this thing on target. We're going to leave Wisconsin behind for a minute. We're going to talk about President Obama and but something Lisa said is going to divert my attention before we get to today's press conference, and that is she talked about money and how the money got into Wisconsin. And I want to take this opportunity to say that is what we envision for you listeners out there, that Missouri Grassroots Coalition should be doing for you. You have a county problem, you have a city problem, or you have a legislator, a Rhino legislator in your district in Jefferson City who needs to go. We all know that those incumbents, they have all the money, and that the Mike Moons and the people running Mike Moon, if for those of you out of Southwest Missouri who don't know Mike, he's running against Billy Long for the U.S. House of Representatives. But these guys come into this thing, they're grassroots, they're conservative, they're constitutionalist. but they don't have any money, you know. And Billy Long comes down here with Boehner behind him and the whole Republican National Committee behind him, and because he's been right there sticking his tongue in Boehner's ear all session, he gets everything he wants. Missouri Grassroots Coalition can and should be the organization that you could come to and say, okay, we need your help. And suddenly, without it costing any one of us too much, you should be able to get $150,000 $5 bills in an envelope. And that's a lot. That's a lot of support that you could get from an organization like Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Come to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, see what we're all about, and think about signing your group up to partner with us. We have 212 groups now in Missouri Grassroots Coalition, 912 groups, Tea Party groups, Patriot groups, property rights groups, what have I missed, fair tax groups, pachyderm groups, anti-rhino Republican groups, and most rhino-type Republican groups tend to run away from us. But we're wanting to make a difference, and we're wanting to make a difference at the state and upward. Did you hear the press conference today, Lisa?
I missed it today. I was out at my pachyderm meeting.
Yeah, well, Barack Obama came on, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, I want to be all respectful with this guy, came on and talked about the economy, of course, and continued with all of the lies, said unemployment was down. We know for a fact that's a lie. He said employment was up. We know for a fact that's a lie. He said he blamed everyone but himself for the state of the economy, blamed Europe. We're not able to fight against the headwinds of Europe to make our economy better. He blamed, of course, the Bush administration.
He's still blaming Bush.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he inherited what's going on here. He asked for, get this, he didn't have the nerve, of course, to call it a stimulus, but he asked for more money for jobs. But here's what I took away from that, and it's one point that I want to home in on. He made two statements today that present an interesting dichotomy, and when you think about the two statements, you get a real insight into what's going on, into what the thought process in this lunatic's administration. First, he said during the press conference, when he was talking about how much he had done for the economy, that the private sector is doing fine. That was his words. The private sector is doing fine. Well,
nobody's hiring anybody.
Right, right. I don't know. I don't think Barack Obama has a clue any more than he did when he got elected what's happening in the private sector. He spends his time with the millionaires and billionaires that he's talking bad about, and they spend time stroking him, even though he's trying to screw them every time he turns around. And I don't have, aside from the fact that I don't have a clue, what he thinks the private sector is. He obviously, or his speechwriters, the people who are advising him economically in the White House, obviously think the private sector is doing fine. Then a couple of hours later, he gave an interview, and in that interview, he said, in response to a question, "It's no secret that the economy is in bad shape." Now, I'm going to tell you that strikes me as funny. That strikes me as a man who says two different things within 2 hours. However, you know, he actually didn't say two different things, because according to President Obama and his minions, the private sector has little to do with the economy.
Well, Okay, explain that one to me.
Well, the economy isn't about the private sector to them. The economy is about the government and how much money the government is making and how much money the government is spending and how many jobs the government is creating. That is the economy in their tunneled vision. So the economy can be doing poorly while the private sector is doing fine in their rational world.
Well, in their rational world, they're trying to win an election. So their idea of truth is anything is its perception is reality.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, I don't know. Is there anyone saying unemployment has gone down who believes unemployment has gone down? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I don't know if these crazies in the White House believe their own lies anymore.
Well, you know, I really believe that the people that are running these campaigns and that are in the political spotlight, they understand one thing, that there is a large section or a large segment of the community that will believe, if you put it out there, people believe it.
Absolutely. I mean,
if they tell you that unemployment is only at 7.9%, people believe it, and nobody looks beyond the skew of the numbers to see that that doesn't include the people that have stopped looking for work, that doesn't include the people that have retired, that doesn't include
right.
a lot of other things.
That's right.
So
I am.
Maybe they really have an unemployment rate closer to 15 or 20%.
Yeah. I think the real unemployment rate actually right now is calculated at 12.7. Last time I looked, it's been weeks.
I think it's higher than that.
It may well be, but included in that 12.7, I don't know who is not included in that 12.7 who is still unemployed, but I know for a fact included in that 12.7 is people like me. I mean, I lost my job 2 years ago next month. I've been spending eight hours a day on average looking for work for 2 years now. I'm out of unemployment, and so I'm not unemployed anymore.
Right. You're that nameless, faceless, countless
right.
person.
Right. And there are millions like that, millions of people out looking for work every day, or who have given up even on looking for work. And either retired early or living on the streets or finishing off their savings or whatever it is that they're surviving on, who are not, quote unquote, unemployed.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you folks don't understand what we're talking about when we say these numbers are lies, that's what we're talking about. And listen, I want to be fair. This isn't a Barack Obama thing. Every administration has done this when the numbers turn sour. Have Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, have turned away the numbers of the no longer drawing unemployment people when they count unemployment figures. So this isn't a baddie on Barack Obama. He's got enough baddies of his own to carry around. This is just a number game they all play. We're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some discourse that I was involved in today and how it applies to Mitt Romney and how it applies to the upcoming election. It'll be a little fun, and we'll see you on the flip side of this commercial break.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, And it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message. I've got a feeling that
the tide is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
We're back. The Friday Night Roundtable. Lisa Payne Nagers here, and I'm Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, the number one voice of true liberty in a land where liberty is going away pretty quickly. Listen, listeners, it's 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. 927 people listen to this show. One of you has got an opinion on something. Give us a call. We're going to get our plugs in here, Lisa, before we move on to the last topic of the night. I want to put in a plug for our weekly lineup. That lineup is Monday and Thursday, the hour of truth, the hour and a half of truth. We are in the middle of a project now in the hour of truth to vet every Republican race that has a Republican primary. We're going to sort out the wheat from the chaff. We're going to show you who the true constitutionalists are and who the establishment folks are. We're going to chuck a lot of people out of work, we hope. We have a lot of candidates in this lineup who are coming. We have a lot of candidates who have declined to come. That will say something in it in and of itself, but we will spend a good part of the hour that we're talking about that race on those candidates, even the ones that do not come. On Tuesday night, we have Vaughn Carriker. Vaughn comes along with a show she calls Show Me Common Sense. Vaughn's show is really interesting. You need to go to the podcast at MissouriGrassrootsRadio.org. Click on Missouri Grassroots Radio in the top left-hand corner of the menu. It'll take you to the podcasts of the radio shows. Listen to some of those Show Me Common Sense shows. They're really good. Vaughn gets a little bit away from politics and gets down in the trenches where the Samaritans live, who actually deal with people on a day-to-day basis. These are true conservatives who believe that true conservatives work in the streets with people, that we don't need the government to take care of our people. We'll take care of our own. She talks with a fellow in a recent program from an outfit called MoveOnUp.org. Notice how he played on MoveOn.org with MoveOnUp.org. It's an outfit that deals with educating and maintaining a conservative base in young African-American voters. She talked with the fellow who founded Veterans for Hope. She talked with the guy who founded Bikers for Bikers Against Child Abuse, BACA. And so these are the kinds of conservative people that she talks to, people who don't have time, people who are conservative to the core, people who are constitutionalists, people who are out there doing what conservative people do, but who don't have time for the politics of it because they're too busy doing the work of it. And then on Wednesday, what's on Wednesday, Lisa?
Wednesday is your hour to be the culture vigilante that you all can be to change the government here. We will be, we'll have Tom Martz returning with our, I can speak, Yankee Doodle Legislative Alerts. We have an interview with Dr. Earl Taylor. He's doing a tour across Missouri to do what we think at Missouri Grassroots needs to be done the best, is educate folks on the Constitution so that you can bring the government back to constitutional principles. He's taken a tour across the state of Missouri to 8 different locations to give half-day seminars to help the Patriots do that, and we have an interview with him on that. We'll have a Patriot spotlight, and then we have a wild card spot that I haven't filled yet.
Great. Great. I love them wild cards. We'll have to tune in Wednesday and find out exactly who that wild card is. And then on Friday, we have our roundtable. You're here now for the roundtable. Some of the Missouri Grassroots Radio hosts, whoever's available on any given Friday night, come along and drop in, and we chit and chat about anything. Once in a while, we'll have a guest along, especially if we want to be topical. Last week's show was excellent. Go catch the podcast, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. We talked about the Brunner-Aiken-Steelman debate in Willard, Missouri, and we talked quite a bit about a confrontation between the two governor guys, Spence and Randles, that Lisa attended a week Friday before last week's session. We're moving on everything eventually, everything that is the business of Missouri Grassroots Coalition off of this social network and onto the actual formal MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org website. You can go there. You can read our blogs. You can see what's coming up. If your group is a member, you can look at the calendar and see when your group's things are. If you have a group who isn't on the calendar and you don't know how to get access to the calendar to put your meetings and events up there, just drop one of us an email. You can email me anytime, davidcourt@missourigrassrootscoalition.org. We have links to all of the podcasts of this radio program and links to upcoming shows. We have a forum, a large forum, with lots of different topics for discussion, fair tax, different candidates for races, unions, public sector unions, a right to work. There's a forum on just about anything. If you've got something there that you want us to forum that's not there, drop us a line and we'll get a forum going for you. We love to read what everybody says. Any blog that's there is absolutely and totally open to your comments, and we'd love to use that as a sounding board without it ever getting like the social pages. We're going to keep the social pages, don't get me wrong. They're a good place for us all to meet and get together and just put around ideas, but sometimes in the social pages, the business of Missouri Grassroots Coalition gets lost, don't you think, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it's time. You know, we've introduced ourselves to the community at large. We need to cast a wider net, but I think that now that we need to start our networking so that when, and you know it's going to happen, when issues come up, we can help support each other with a much stronger voice. So that's really what that blog, that web page is all about, a good place for people to gather to get the latest information and to ask for support when they need it.
Right. I agree. And one more plug here, Lisa Payne Nager, my friend here on air with me tonight. She is, aside from the culture vigilante, she is the education expert. She knows everything there is to know about education, specifically about homeschooling, but generally about what's happening in the legislature. Catch her blog sometime, or her articles sometime, her blog at Homeschooling United. Homeschool or homeschooling, Lisa?
homeschoolingunited.wordpress.com.
homeschoolingunited.wordpress.com. Also catch Lisa at the Political Buzz.
Yep. Examiner.com. I'm the St. Louis Political Buzz Examiner there. And I also have culturevigilante.wordpress.com. All that's cultural in politics right there. And I also follow the course at guardianadlitemreform.wordpress.com.
Wow, what a busy woman you are. Okay, we're going to move on. I want to get one more plug here. That theme song, I like to plug this once a week or so, that theme song of ours that I love so much, that's by Krista Branch. It was the original theme song for the Herman Cain campaign, but I just fell in love with it. You can go to iTunes and buy that song for 99 cents. It's called I Am America. It's by Krista Branch. And it's a great song. I've cut it up a little bit, and it is the ringtone on my phone for all of my Missouri Grassroots Coalition friends that call me. So when my friend over there on the other side of the table, Lisa, calls me, I get to hear Krista Branch sing The Tide Is Turning. Okay, we had an interest, very, very, very interesting thread on the social page today. It started out with someone, a great friend of mine, who I agree with on 99% of all issues that we discuss. But unfortunately for him and for the world in general, because he is a smart guy, he got caught up in the Ron Paul thing. And so now he wants to know what would he tell someone? What do I tell someone was basically his question, who asks me, why should I vote for Mitt Romney? And there was a long thread that proceeded from this, 90 comments, a long thread, and what it boiled down to was a lot of people coming on with, well, he's better than Obama, and my friend saying, well, that's not good enough for me, you know, and my friend saying, tell me what about Romney makes him the best choice. And people would say, well, he's the nominee, so you don't have any choice. And my friend would say, well, that's not good enough for me. And you know what, folks? As much as it can be an irritant at times to hear that kind of thing over and over again, he's right. He's right. Now listen up. We talked about this, Lisa, I think maybe from our very first show some month and a half ago now. It's been a while since we started this thing. I don't remember exactly how long. But I think one of the things we discussed in our very first show was, okay, you Santorum people, okay, you Bachman people, okay, you Cain people, okay, you whatever, whatever people, get on board. We don't like it. I don't like it any more than you do. I don't think Mitt was the best guy, but get on board. It's over. Let's get this thing together, and let's go and get Obama out of office. Didn't we say that?
That's exactly what we said.
Okay. But that being said, you are the troops out there on the street, and you need to be able to answer that question. This election is still going to be decided by independent voters, and we need those votes. So you better have some things up your sleeve other than he's not Obama to tell these independent voters who don't particularly care that he's not Obama and who are looking for an alternative to Obama and to whom Mitt Romney is being painted at times as not an alternative to Obama. So you better know some things that are going on there. So I want you to Google these things and convince yourself that they are correct, and then put them in your ammo chest. The I mean, aside from the obvious thing, which I came right back with, and of course everybody poo-pooed me and said, well, that's nothing. Aside from the fact that Mitt Romney wasn't a member of Bain Capital, he founded Bain Capital. Am I not right? I think I am right. Google that and see, but I am right. Mitt Romney founded Bain Capital. And so, I mean, my first response to that was, to the question was, you know, Mitt Romney knows capitalism. He knows how it works, and he knows how it drives the economy. And I took a lot of guff for that. But the bottom line is that he does. He is a renowned capitalist. He is, and there are, I've got the list right here, because I put it right on this thing today, but it's a significantly long list, and I'm paging, but we can start with Staples while I'm looking for the rest of the list. Staples, Burlington Coat Factory, Burger King, I mean, these are some of the, and the list goes on to run to about 2 million people who owe the fact that they get a paycheck every week to Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. So there we go. I mean, start with that. Start with the fact that this guy has some savvy and some understanding about what capitalism is and how it works. Don't get sidetracked on all the other arguments that are going to spring from that. People are going to say, well, why did he attack capitalism when he was the governor of Massachusetts by instituting Romney Care? Why did he this or why did he that? Forget, do not let that discussion get sidetracked. The fact is Romney is a capitalist. He knows how capitalism works. He's made his fortune being a capitalist, and he knows what it takes to be a capitalist, and he knows what it takes for government to allow capitalism to work.
And he doesn't hate it.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's the best reason right there. Obama
exactly.
hates capitalism.
Exactly. The man moved into Massachusetts as the governor when the budget had a tremendous, tremendous deficit. The state was going broke. It was joining its friend New York. And Massachusetts, in case most of you don't know, along with New York, are the two most liberal states, even more liberal than California. I mean, I lived in Massachusetts when I was in the service for a good number of years, and I'm telling you, Massachusetts is even more liberal than California. So here along comes Mitt Romney, winning the governorship as a Republican with a House and a Senate that were heavily Democratic. In his first year, he balanced the budget without raising taxes. Now, I need to qualify that without raising taxes part, because in order to balance the budget, which had to be done, in order to balance a budget that was hugely in the red, he cut spending. And he raised revenue, but he raised revenue by raising fees, user fees, and surcharges. Now, to you and me, Lisa, and to most people who want fair taxation, and to most people who want smaller government, a fee is the same thing as a tax. So to say that he balanced the budget without raising taxes may not be entirely fair, but the fact of the matter is he didn't raise taxes. He did raise revenue significantly through fees and surcharges. And so there you go. But this is a guy who can bring consensus to a widely divergent group of people and get something positive done. Now, none of us like some of the things that he gave up. Some of the conservative, none of us like Romney Care. None of us like some of the other things that the man did. But the fact of the matter is that without raising taxes, he balanced the budget and he maintained that balanced budget while he was governor in a very liberal state, by cutting entitlement programs in a very liberal state. He cut some other programs, too, that weren't entitlement programs. He cut the Massachusetts Department of Transportation. He cut some other things that don't have to do with entitlement. But he did cut deeply into entitlements. He did get that done with a very liberal Senate and House of Representatives. So he is a man of consensus rather than a man of division like we have in the White House now. Some of us think that's good. Some of us think that's bad. I would think it to be bad myself if we weren't hopeful to get a draw a line in the sand and stand your ground legislature. But if we get ourselves a draw in the line in the sand and stand your ground legislature, then we really do need a president who is a consensus seeker. Don't you agree?
Oh, well, yes, I would agree with that. But basically, I think what you need is somebody who will protect and defend the Constitution.
Right.
You know, and that's really where I want people to stand their ground. I want people to stand their ground, you know, on those principles. And if you have that, you'll have a capitalist. You'll have a person who will support the free market and capitalism and you know, the Constitution and government, you know, states' rights, all those kinds of things that will support a good, clear national economy.
Well, Lisa, you're absolutely right, but we're talking about what you would tell an independent on why he should vote for Mitt Romney as opposed to Barack Obama, and as much as I hate to say it, you can't say because he's a defender of the Constitution.
Well, I think that you can, because I think it's just a basic philosophy issue. You've got one who's a socialist and a Marxist, and then you've got one who's a capitalist. And hopefully a constitutionalist. We're not really, you know, we're not real sure about. We're working on that part. I'm going to need a station on election day to go vote for him. But you know, I mean, really, the long and the short of it is he's not Obama, and that's the truth. Obama is not. He doesn't love America. He doesn't love the Constitution. He doesn't love capitalism. He doesn't love anything about this country. And he's sitting in the White House. You got to get him out. And anything is better than nothing.
You're absolutely right. In fact, he hates the Constitution. In fact, he hates the United States of America. And in fact, you know, he doesn't pull any bones about it. I mean, he's come out and said capitalism is evil. Mitt Romney reduced unemployment and increased employment in Massachusetts while he was governor. You're going to hear when you present this, if anyone has actually studied the point, that in Mitt Romney's final year as governor, after actually lowering unemployment to below 5% for his first 3 years, and unemployment that was in excess of 8% when he came in office, you're going to hear that it went up to 5.3% in his last year, which is true. You're going to hear counter arguments that the national unemployment numbers were coming down when he was governor of Massachusetts, which is true. For the first 3 years of his governorship, Massachusetts was 0.2 to 0.5, anywhere from 0.2 to 0.5 below the national average. So, in spite of the fact that the nation as a whole had an unemployment number that was headed downward during his first 3 years, Massachusetts went from above the national average when he came into office to below the national average and came down at a greater rate than the rest of the country. So he knows how to put people to work. Now, he did have an increasing number of unemployed in his last year. If you will Google this up and do the research for yourself, what you will find is, and I'm not making excuses, but what you will find as a partial reason for this is that unemployment was not coming down rapidly in New Hampshire, in New York, in New Jersey, And those people were coming to Massachusetts because of the unemployment rate. So he was taking on a lot of unemployed people in his last year because his numbers had been so good. And so for the first time in his last year, he did actually go above the national average, because the national average continued to decline when Massachusetts took a slight tick upward. So there you go. He balanced the budget without raising taxes, and you can say that with a straight face. Know how to qualify that if you get challenged. He did reduce unemployment, and he did increase employment. He did make serious economic reforms in the form of spending cuts to entitlement programs with a very liberal Democratic legislature. So he is able to work with his opponents and seek a consensus and still get his agenda moving. Now, this is important, and this is definitely something that Obama suffers from. Mitt Romney, when it comes to something he doesn't know about, he listens to advice. I do not believe Barack Obama listens to advice. Do you?
No. Barack Obama is his own best friend.
And I don't believe Barack Obama listens to advice, in my opinion, because I don't believe Barack Obama has a clue what his ideals are. I believe Barack Obama is a puppet for people, and he has no clue where he's going at any given time.
Well, I'm not quite sure. I think Barack Obama has his own agenda. Doesn't have anything to do with leading the country. I think it has to do with advancing Barack Obama's interests. I think he's completely self-centered and self-absorbed, and he's the great I am, and it's all about Barack Obama. I really don't think the man cares about being the president. I think he's just using the presidency as a stepping stone to something bigger and better. I think he would rule the world if he thought he could get away with it.
Well, you probably are right. I've got a feeling that Barack Obama is very much a puppet. That's my opinion. I can name some puppet masters. We'll save that for another show. George Soros comes to mind, of course. But Mitt Romney does seek advice. Now, can this be bad? Well, it can be, because what you're going to hear is, again, Romney care. You folks, I don't know how much you guys out there in listener land, how much time you spend milling around or actually researching this stuff or caring one way or the other, but you'll be surprised to find out, if you didn't already know, that the individual mandate / Romney care / Obamacare came from... I'm listening. Anybody know? I didn't think so. I don't hear the phone ringing anyway. Came from the Heritage Foundation. And that is if you don't know, the Heritage Foundation is the biggest conservative think tank. It was the conservative think tank that pretty much ran Ronald Reagan's policy. And so the individual mandate is actually a conservative notion. Now here's what I wish we could hear, and this is me off in dreamland now. I wish we could hear Mitt Romney keep his mouth shut about Romney care until it is mentioned by the Democrats, and it will be, until it is mentioned in a debate, and it will be, and then I would like to hear Romney say, "I screwed up," you know, but that's what America is all about. It's a states' rights issue, and we'd ought to be 50 states experimenting with things like health care, education, food stamps, welfare programs. We'd ought to be 50 different laboratories out there, and when we find something that works, we have the option of adopting that at every state or any state that wants to. And we tried Romney Care. We tried, and I would call it Obamacare. I wouldn't even call it Romney Care. I wouldn't even let it be called Romney Care. I would call it Obamacare. We tried Obamacare in Massachusetts, and it didn't work. And so what is our option? Well, it certainly isn't elevating a program that I've already proven failure to a national level.
Absolutely.
And I would love to hear him say, okay, we screwed up. We screwed up on that one, so let's not take that screw up and make it a national epidemic. So we have Romney, and I've just given you five talking points you can use if you care to. Please don't use these talking points, or for that matter, anything you hear on this radio show or any other radio show. I don't care if you hear Rush Limbaugh say it. Don't take any of it out onto the street as your own talking points without you do the research and find out it's true. If you find out that you're not going to find out it's not true. If you read something or you believe it's not true, then give us a call at 347-677-1835. Tell us what you found, and I'll listen to you. I'll hear you. I'll go with you to wherever it is you found this information. We'll talk about it, and then I'll show you why I'm right and you're wrong. Nothing I say here is done without me having researched it and knowing what I'm talking about. And so I challenge you to call us and challenge anything that we say here. In the end, though, what you hear on this show is my opinion and Lisa's opinion. What you hear on the Culture Vigilante is Lisa's opinion, and what you hear on the Hour of Truth is my opinion, and what you hear on Show Me Common Sense is Vaughn's opinion, and they are not necessarily ever the opinions of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Listen, 90%, 95% probably, of Missouri Grassroots Coalition is capital C conservatives, conservative Republicans. I am not. I'm a libertarian. So never, ever, ever take what I say as the opinion of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, because shit, half the time it's not. But it is my opinion. You're welcome to call and give me yours, and I'll listen to it. And in the end, we'll both have had our opinion, but this is my show, and I get to say what I want to say. It's Lisa's show, and she gets to say what she wants to say. And then you call and let us know what you want to say, and yeah, sometimes we'll even decide whether or not you can say it. That's getting close to a wrap for tonight. Lisa, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, if I can put a plug in for something that I had on my show last week, again, I want to let everybody know that Dr. Earl Taylor will be presenting a series of constitutional workshops beginning June 25th through the 28th, I believe. He'll be at 8 locations around state. We will have that information up at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. We'll have it on the website so that if you can hop on to one of those seminars anywhere around the state and get some great information about learn about the Constitution. We'll have an interview with Dr. Taylor again on Wednesday evening during the Culture Vigilante Hour. And it's a wonderful series. Dr. Earl Taylor is the man who put on the series of DVDs of the 5,000-Year Leap. If you've ever had the opportunity to view those DVDs, they're wonderful instructional DVDs on the Constitution. Even if you're a constitutional scholar, you'll learn something new. So stay tuned for that information and check the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website for those seminar dates.
Okay. And don't forget, Lisa has started a brand new segment on the Culture Vigilante. She mentioned it, but I want to get a plug in for my good friend Tom Martz. Tom is the head of the Legislative Committee at Locke & Smith, a great organization. It's the converted Young Conservatives of America. You know, I don't know if you've ever met Tom, but eventually the Young Conservatives of America became not so young anymore, and so they changed their name to Locke & Smith. That's if you want to look that up, that's lockeandsmith.com, L-O-C-K-E, like John Locke and and, the word, S-M-I-T-H, like AdamSmith.com. But Tom comes along on Lisa's show and does a little skit that makes me chuckle and makes me concerned, of course, as it should you. But it's kind of funny, and it's about what Lisa calls Yankee Doodle legislation. Tell us what Yankee Doodle is again.
Yankee Doodle legislation is legislation that generally hits a hot button with all of us. It's something of major concern to us all. But it's really kind of prostituted in a way that it's really being used for campaign advancement and doesn't really do much to advance your liberties and freedoms. And you see a lot of Yankee Doodle legislation during campaign years, and we've certainly had some in the last year or two in Missouri. Basically, what a legislator will do is he'll take a hot button issue, he'll write a piece of legislation up, and he'll go across the state campaigning on it, trying to get support for this legislation. He'll get the constituents all lathered up about it, thinking that this guy's right on top of the issue. But when you read further, the legislation really doesn't have much teeth to it. So Tom and I try to look into issues and debate that on the air and find out, you know, just exactly how far this legislation can get. With that, by the way.
Yeah, it is good. It's a good time just listening to it, Lisa. I love it. I like Tom. Tom's a good guy, and he knows a lot. As I say, he is the head of the legislative committee over at Locke & Smith. So the legislative, if you go to the Facebook page of Locke & Smith sometime and just look at it, I mean, these guys diligently look at bills, and they dig out the crap that that you and I would never find in there and say, oh, Jesus, look at this. Did you realize this is going on in this bill and that is going on in this bill? And they've actually been responsible for thwarting an awful lot of dangerous stuff just by bringing it to people's attention. Great outfit.
Yeah, and another purpose that I would like Yankee Doodle legislative alerts to serve is that, you know, most of us really do follow very passionately people running for office that we think, you know, personifies the statesmanship qualities that we're looking to put back into our government. And a lot of times people running for office pick up on that and kind of play on your emotions. So hopefully what I'm hoping that we can do is to alert people these nuances in the campaigning structure and you know bring awareness to that so that we can take emotion out of following our legislators, take emotion out of following legislation and really just get down to the meat and potatoes and the real basics of doing the business of running the government.
I agree. Listen now, we've got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, and I'm going to use it up here. I'm going to plug something that needs to be plugged, and I'm going to plug it for every show we do. We have last year, Missouri Grassroots Coalition was formed in December, the first week of December. By December 25th, we had decided to do a Secret Santa. We had collected $250, and we used it to help two families buy toys for their children for Christmas. I'm in a hurry, so I'm not going to go into details on that tonight, but we've started early this year because, A, we'd like to have more money. We've set a higher goal this year. We've actually set a goal that I think is reachable early, and I would like to see us back to raise that goal, but right now our goal is $500 and four families. And we started early because it's so much easier for us to drag money out of you in June and July than it is in November and December, and it's so much easier for you to give some. So drop $5, drop a dollar to Santa at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. That's the PayPal account, Santa at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and hit the donate button and make a donation. That was it. I said that fast and furious. We'll get a little bit more detail into that next time we talk about it. Lisa, it's been great. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, Dave.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you all soon. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and we're gone.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition,
a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.